how many guys behind there, how many of these people are interested in bringing out transformative technologies, either for the good of humanity or because they now feel that they can bring them out and utilize them for control of humanity. Either way, they may have a reason to bring that out, right? Or they may not. But I think we're going to see that that's going to be the deciding factor. I don't have a lot of faith in the idea that senators or MPs or any of us really are going to be able to get to this unless they are already being utilized to bring this out at the behest of private interest groups, right? So that's the first thing I'd say. The other thing I find interesting, of course, is being a little bit older than maybe some of the people out there that are into the topic. There's a lot of young people getting into this topic, of course. Is that, you know, I remember 25 years ago, when ufology was really dominated by the kind of paranoia of the shills and government infiltrators and disinfo agents. And of course, that's kind of still there to a degree. But we are at a point where it's almost that those are the people that are at the forefront now. It's the agents, the insiders, the former disinformation agents. And, you know, so it's quite a wild journey to, you know, to approach what seems to be something like an end game. And finding so much of that landscape has shifted that we're now waiting on those very, you know, kind of insiders that were once being pointed at as, you know, as the enemy, you know, but now they're kind of they're becoming the heroes of disclosure. That's quite amazing. And, you know, we've seen in the last few days even that some of the same people that are being looked to for UFO insider information are known to have lied, you know, recently in terms of things like Hunter Biden's laptop and all this. We're seeing these insiders who we're being told are going to help reveal UFO data, but yet it's well evidenced that they have lied in other matters involving the public, right? So I find that hard to square, and yet there seems to be a willingness to ignore the amount of lying that's gone on from many of the people that are now being looked to for disclosure. Not all of them, but there is definitely some problems here, and I find that within our community there seems to be a disconnect where an awful lot of people don't seem to see this topic as joined up to other things that are happening around the globe today. You know, there's a strange disconnect. Like, go back a couple of years ago, I remember kind of touching on the fact that when we saw this movement towards being able to discuss UFO events in terms of the military, you know, witnessing UFO events, that we should also see that in the context of the looming drone war. I mean, because it seemed to be, again, a disconnect in the community of not willing to say that, hang on, what has changed in the military environment? Well, you now have novel drones, all kinds of novel drones. I mean, you can pretty much design a drone that looks like almost anything, you know, spherical drones, triangle drones, you know, most of the shapes that are associated with anomalous vehicles. You can replicate those forms in drones. Now, they might not necessarily do the incredible speeds or teleporting or anything that's super anomalous, but for the average person who's looking up at the sky, they would see some of these things and be, you know, absolutely shocked. Now, the other problem with that, of course, is that if you've got soldiers at a base and a saucer flies over and they're unwilling to report that because they know historically their careers will be ruined, but that can be a Chinese drone, right? So all of a sudden, the benefit of kind of sweeping away the UFO, where it used to be an inconvenience. They said, you know, they had all these reports of UFOs. It was bogging down the system. They weren't really going to do anything with, you know, Farmer Joe's UFO report. They weren't very interested. They had an awareness there was anomalous things in the sky. They had an awareness as well that a lot of people just report, you know, Venus, clouds. So in the end, there were some decisions made that they weren't going to put a lot of manpower on that. And so they kind of, you know, they built up the stigma, and that was useful at that time. But the stigma is now harmful because you can't really have, you know, your base commander being unwilling to call in a novel Chinese drone because he's scared that you're going to say, you've gone nuts, you're seeing flying saucers, right? So that Mike said is that people seem to have ignored this and said, you know, this is all about aliens. It's like, well, no, that's it's been a very naive take. Where we can see that, you know, we're already moving towards AI generals, unending drone war, not only on Earth, but unending drone war in space, which is where they're kind of heading towards, because it's the ultimate military grift, is that you've got drones up there from China, Russia, America, fighting each other in space that we can't really even monitor, and all being told that endless production of drones, you know, needs to go on, and that we all have to pour our money into this drone war. So you can see how that direction suits a lot of the same interests that are using these technologies, and they're hiding these technologies. The same, you know, military-industrial complex that's done this is now moving in a direction where it's useful for them to change this narrative and to bring out some of these technologies because of the direction of that kind of warfare and where this is heading. So that's why I'm quite sort of skeptical that we should view any of that as being an organic change in how they want to engage with the public and to be more open and to, you know, give us transformative technologies. I take that as a very sort of a naive stance. You know, I'm sure there are good people, you know, in these networks who would like to bring out technologies for the good of humanity, but I don't think they're going to be in the senior positions, very, very few of them, who can actually influence this in a real way, right? So they could maybe do a whistleblower, come out and reveal themselves. It's a very dangerous choice. They could do that. But I think without a green light from above, that's unlikely. And at the moment, I'm not seeing why that green light would be given in view of where we are going in this kind of drone war world, right? So that's my concern. So you have this kind of this mixture, and also, of course, in the last few years, we've seen the absolute willingness of our officials to barefaced lie on multiple topics, you know, whether in the US, the UK, across Europe, to stand a barefaced lie on multiple important topics and be caught out without consequences. So is there really any incentive for them to suddenly turn a new leaf and start telling the truth? I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it. I wish I was. So I feel that really ufology has to kind of take a step back and return more to the kind of the grassroots of, you know, the citizens trying to, you know, bring about a change in the paradigm, rather than overly heavily leaning on the idea that, you know, you can write to your MPs and your senators, or that, you know, there's a few brave people in there that are going to change it all. I wish it was that simple, but I'm not seeing it. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
I think there's a fine line between activism and radicalism. And this is certainly prevalent in our world today, not only in our research field, but just in more general terms, there is certainly a heightened level of tribalism and the enabling of radical ideologies from, you know, social to political policy. But this has seeped into the UFO community. I would say it is most prevalent on UFO Twitter, where you do find some very hardline, quite radical personalities who don't want you to question the government narrative or the people involved in an official capacity in the push for discussion within Congress and the Senate. So how do you guys, how do you feel about this more kind of hardcore demographic that, quite frankly, seem more than happy to attack and deplatform individuals who want to ask tough questions and view the government officials and narratives around this issue with a degree of skepticism, which I personally would say is healthy to have a degree of skepticism, but others seem to view this as some form of a threat towards disclosure and can get very irate if you challenge certain individuals or narratives. So, Bruce, what is your experience of this? Do you have any thoughts on the more, let's just say, radical activism within this field?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting phenomenon, I think. You know, and obviously it is a kind of a part of our times that you say we've seen a lot more groupthink and the leveraging of, I'd say, of divisions, and the leveraging of, you know, obviously passions and dreams by people that know how to utilize vulnerable people, I'd say. Not necessarily, this doesn't mean that they're particularly, you know, something wrong with their brain, but there are many people who have a vulnerability, particularly if there's something they really want to believe, right? Or there's something they really want to know. Now, if you can give them the feeling that you can provide that, right? That is a really nice juicy worm on the hook for them, right? So as long as if you understand what they want and you give them the sense and you can deliver it, you can pull in quite a nice crowd to follow, you know, follow your tune through the town, right? And that's what I think we are seeing, is this leveraging. Now, and we've got to remember that within ufology, there are not only some very intellectual people, very intelligent people, but there are people with certain skill sets. You know, they're coming out of the military world, intelligence world, you know, and they do have an understanding of how to utilize assets, right, and to convert assets. So, you know, so someone like, well, any of us, if you have a platform or, you know, you have access to other people, you know, you're a useful asset to convert, because, you know, if they can get you on board with the idea that they're providing you something really good, you know, or the potential to access something really good, and you take that on board, that's going to start to filter through to your followers, to your network of researchers. So we can see the way this is being done. And I think something very professionally, an understanding of, you know, the psychology of, I don't want to say victims, but in a way, certainly marks. And that's been happening a lot in the last few years. And amongst that, there seems to be, I'd say, a few individuals that are almost like generals marshalling their troops as well, that have kind of taken on these roles within this kind of subculture, that they are, you know, calling upon everyone to activate when some, you know, event is coming up, or there's some need to, you know, contact your Congress, or to get out there and bombard journalists, things like this. I've seen calls to, you know, contact all the journalists now, tell them, you know, X event is happening. So this is really is happening.
Don't forget Storm Area 51.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of an interesting one, that how many people suddenly jumped onto that. And a lot of those were not people that were very much involved with the UFO topic. And just the way that kind of memetic virus of the idea of, you know, let's go and get the aliens, that spread really fast. And a lot of people got very excited by the idea that, you know, maybe everyone was just going to run in there and they were going to find the aliens. And so, I mean, we know that these kind of memetic viruses, they happen, they're real. We've seen a lot in the last few years, the idea that, you know, you can get groupthink, you know, leveraged quite quickly and in some cases quite radically. And I think, you know, we definitely have seen that in the UFO topic. And as the media has begun to feed into this loop, that exponentially increases, right? Because you've got, you know, Fox, CNN, and you know, all these big networks have covered UFOs certainly in a greater extent and more seriously than they had in the many years previous, right? After we had the 2017 kind of Navy videos, that's changed. So it's not that necessarily lots of new evidence came out, but the way the media was reporting on what was out there changed quite radically. And so suddenly people felt, oh, there's really something serious here. And so when they're offered a kind of an insider seat in that bus, you know, that, yeah, you're on the way to disclosure. And we know these people. We know these people are putting this in the news. And, you know, this is us with the disclosure team. You know, that's certainly going to be appealing for people that are also seeing it on the news, you know, to feel part of that, that when they see CNN, you know, they can nudge their buddy and say, I know the people that got this on the news. I talked to them on Twitter. And that is definitely a big part of this. And we live in a world where people kind of want a bit of, you know, notoriety, to be noticed, to be part of the group. And that, I'm afraid, is a dangerous journey as well, because, of course, often that bus is going off a cliff, you know, and then the driver is not going to be there when it goes over because they know where it's going, right? And we've already seen this with a few of these kind of projects that have happened. There's been people who've left the social media entirely. They've been left very depressed. You know, I've heard of horror stories of people that commit suicide over the fighting and stuff that goes on within kind of UFO topics, and who feel, you know, that their lives have been very much derailed by having put huge amounts of focus into a topic where it didn't deliver what they expected, and they were kind of abandoned by their heroes. So yeah, it's a concerning trend.
And Jeremy, same question, man. How do you feel about the kind of, I guess, more radical styles of activism that we're seeing prop up over the last few years?
Well, as I mentioned, sorry to cut you off, but I just couldn't help the throw in that comment about the Raid Area 51 mess that went on there. Yeah, so like, there's radicalism and there's all this hype, but it seems to always be pointing in the wrong direction. It's always targeted to bang the wrong doors down, and that's very, very common of a lot of political movements. Is what you see as controlled opposition, and that's a form of, you know, a counterintelligence or psyops, as people call it. It's a way to, you know, mislead your opposition by, you know, you create this bandwagon again, the bus idea. Everyone gets on the bus and then the bus drives off a cliff and everyone's sort of and it's done intentionally, I believe, in this field to create burnout, you know, UFO burnout, we call it. It's people who have invested a lot of time and energy on a certain case or a subject or a topic or a field, and then they come to find out that, wow, I wasted, you know, a lot of time on this, and why do I even bother? And this has brought me nothing but aggravation. And it's sort of a That's one of the key psychological mechanisms that are used in PsyOps to demoralize your opponent. So it's no surprise that this is rampant and going on, because to think that this field isn't under a PsyOp is imaginary thinking, because anyone anywhere on this planet is constantly under the effects of a PsyOp, whether it's from marketing, government, or what have you. There are all sorts of forces trying to persuade and manage your perception any way that they can. So I think that it's important to be aware of these forces and be aware of these mindsets and the ideas of groupthink, that this herd mentality, that that even if, you know, that you can be, people are afraid to be wrong when this, I mean, it's dangerous to be right when the government's wrong, or it's dangerous to be right when everyone else is wrong. And if you want to look at it that way. So this sort of a and that's generated even more because we have AI now, and AI has developed so much over the last 10 years. So you could be arguing with someone for hours and not even realize that it's a ChatGPT algorithm that somebody made on a freaking computer. That's, you know, that's just there to waste your time. And you're sitting there sharing all your best facts and sources with a damn computer that will never, it's programmed not to agree with you. And so I just have, you know, that to say about the whole mess. It's a dangerous place to tread, and you know, I'm real sorry to hear that you had people actually, you know, commit suicide over this nonsense, because it's just the burnout can be real tough and real strong for some people, man.
Well, yeah, and as you think, especially when we combine that with, of course, the stresses of the last 3 years in particular, and where people perhaps were doing a bit more online for their communities. And of course, that's brought a lot more people into UFOs and aliens and things that they wouldn't really necessarily thought about. So they don't have much of a defense against the kind of the memes and the hooks in these topics. And then they've gone into it perhaps, you know, too wholeheartedly, at a time when perhaps the manipulation has never been greater. And then, they've suffered job loss, all the things that we know that have happened in the last 3 years, you know, couldn't go to work, couldn't go on holiday. And then you get all in on a community, and then that community kind of ends up burning you. I mean, that obviously can be really, really massively psychologically impacting on someone that's already in a vulnerable state. So I think that's perhaps why there's been a worse impact on people in this last few years. And with it seeming so believable as well, of course, if I say with the media kind of promoting the idea that something's happening, it's so much easier to believe that it's right about to happen, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be part of it. And then boom, nothing. And then you combine that with, you saw about the burnout effect as well. You know, of course, this is a kind of a depressive feeling anyway. So you sort of waste all your time, you know, this, you know, your friends turned out they weren't really friends. They're using you to contact the senator or whatever. And I just see that as being, yeah, it's a few things comes together. And I think that's, yeah, definitely pushed some people off the edge, and at the very least have abandoned social media, realizing, you know, that their communities weren't real as such. So yes, I think that's perhaps a combination of issues have come together to worsen an already problematic situation. And that's where I kind of see that. But I definitely, the burnout thing is very important at the moment with the way that we're seeing these government, Senate inquiries, and want to call them, that of course these are seen as kind of focal points where people are like, well, there's a hearing, you know, there's a hearing, and it's going to be massive, and the rumors start spilling out. You know, they're going to mention bodies, they're going to mention alien bodies, it's going to be there, and you know, it's all going to be worthwhile, and then it doesn't happen. And so then you have a wave of people in that would be burned out, because they're like, well, I was waiting for a year for that, and then there's another hearing, you know, there's another one, this time it's going to be crash retrievals, they're going to say it's going to be, you know, right up front, and you know, it's not mentioned. Instead, it's, we've got no evidence of extraterrestrials, no special technology. You know, that's not what those people have invested the last 2 or 3, 4 years into, right? That they're waiting to hear that announcement, pretty much, of, yes, the bodies are here, here's the photo, you know, of this creature in a tank, you know, that we've had since 1940. That there are people that are believing that's what's going to happen. And so you can imagine them being knocked sideways when the scientist says, well, I've got nothing here interesting, really. I mean, just some weird videos that I've been looking. I mean, that's not what those people are ready to hear. And that can be really destabilizing for someone that's been building up in their mind how that event's going to look, you know, especially over years.